Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike and Bo hanging out with you on this beautiful Falcons Victory Friday. Your first place Atlanta Falcons. We are the home of the first place Atlanta Falcons here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Bo and I on the air mattresses last night, and I didn't
separate.
Know.
Separate
yeah,
air mattresses.
Although
Rob Tribble did come
somebody
in.
Somebody out there with St. Paul's. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Rob Tribble did come into my office last night. My door was, I hadn't closed the door yet, and he just laid down on the air mattress with me. So I just did, I did what felt natural. I just put my arm around him and
were you the big spoon? Were you the big spoon or the little spoon?
I was like, he kind of laid down like he was my girl. And I just kind of put my arm around him and said, hey, buddy, how about that win?
Yo, big pause, man. Big pause. We're going to get to our locks of the week.
He got up quickly.
Locks of the week here in just a second. You'll want to continue that because obviously we'll have Man Up Monday. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Man, we're still feeling the vibes from the primetime win.
As we should be, Mike.
It was last night, man. I'm with you. No, it feels extremely good. Sandy just walked in a minute ago. She's feeling the vibes, too. I think the whole city waking up this morning is feeling those good vibes from last night.
You know, you're supposed to enjoy wins.
Mm.
And after Sunday, where, yeah, we squeaked by. It wasn't our best performance offensively, but our defense and our special teams played well. And I felt like there was no enjoyment of the win. I'm going to tell you something. I ain't talked to a person yet that ain't enjoying the hell out of what happened last night. And I am leading the charge.
We'll talk to Dave Archer coming up here in about 15 minutes. We'll also have a Life of Squid. And I know you're going to talk about a little bit of the Matty Ice night that was. It was great to catch up with him, see him in the building. Saw Roddy, saw buddy Brian Finneran, saw Todd McClure, saw a bunch of those guys that were in the building last night to celebrate Matt Ryan. About, so we'll talk about that too.
How about Tony Gonzalez?
Tony G. I didn't even think about that.
The Ring of Honor ceremony. Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool since he was in town. And he and Matt, obviously, he was very, very important to Matt Ryan in his early stages of his career. Him and Roddy White as well.
Yeah, definitely was. And also, speaking of which, John Abraham up in the press box last night with our friend Maria Martin. He
continues
to do good work as well. So a lot of fun, man, just all the way around. I'm so glad the Falcons were able to get that win last night, especially in the fashion they did with the offensive explosion. Kirk Cousins goes over 500 yards passing, sets a franchise record, breaking the record of one Matt Ryan. All right, man, we got to get to our locks of the week. I don't even know where to start with these, to be honest with you, because we've got, as always, we've got our mandatory college game, our mandatory NFL game, then both of us select our locks of the weeks. We've been on a little bit of a roll lately, and I don't want to jinx it. I'm finally over 500 after going 3-1 last week. I'm at 10-9, and you are at
8-11.
8-11.
Hold on. 5-3 over my last 2 weeks.
Okay.
So there's making a charge. I'm gonna be honest with you before we get to this. I have no freaking clue. I haven't even decided. One of the games Dylan gave us because I'm like, blank if I know.
Well, which one of you not decided? Because I'm going to make you go first on that one, so you don't. So you don't hear mine. Let's start with the NFL, man. Let's go to the one right at the top of the list right now. Buffalo Bills at Houston Texans is our mandatory NFL pick of the week. Buffalo, a 1-point favorite in that one on the road against a good Houston Texans squad. The over/under 47.5. You want me to go first? I'll go first if you want me to.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills -1 on the road. And everything in me kind of tells me to lean Houston. The fact that Buffalo is a good football team, but Houston will be at home in this one. I just feel like this is a little bit of a get-back game for Buffalo. Buffalo is one of my Super Bowl favorites when you look at this season, especially when you see how that division's kind of shaped up. I love what Houston has going on, but to me, Buffalo just one step ahead. That 1-point line, very, very fishy, but it just means that Buffalo has to go out and win, and I think they will this weekend.
I have zero freaking clue. This is the game I could not decide. In fact,
good job by Dylan picking this one as the
Can
mandatory.
I tell you something? I was on Buffalo, then I was at the Texans. Yeah. I was back on Buffalo, and I said, now I'm going to the Texans. Then you just picked Buffalo, and I said, I like that. And now I'm back on the Texans in my head. I talked myself out of it as you continued to talk.
Yeah. Always tough, man.
I think you're right, though. That's what hurts. And I don't gain anything by going with you, but I'm going to go with Buffalo as well. I just have no clue. Mm. But I think Josh Allen is tired of hearing that he's not one of the top five quarterbacks in the league. And there's few people out there that have said it. I think he is. But then again, DeMeco Ryans knows how to. He's one of the best defensive minds in this game. And how do I go against him at home, but Buffalo?
Yeah, I was going to say, which way are you going to? Are you going to talk yourself back out of it? Look, let's stick with the NFL, and let's go ahead and go to our locks. If you're good with that, you can go first, or I can go first. It doesn't matter. But let's stick with the NFL and go ahead and knock out our locks for NFL games this weekend.
They're traveling to London. Jets coming off a very poor defensive, I mean offensive showing, but I think Denver is very good defensively. I think Denver has figured out, and forgive me, I do not know their DC off the top of my head, but he's doing a phenomenal job at coming up with game plans to get after teams and create pressure. The Vikings are one of the hottest offenses in the league. They were up 28-0 on Green Bay early in Green Bay. The over is 40.5. The over-under is 40.5, I should say. Yeah. Give me the over all day long. They're going to show the folks over across the pond how to play offense.
We've been talking about this Falcons game, obviously off and on all day, or basically on. It hasn't left our mind last night. But I tweeted it out before the game. I was like, the unders are 13-0, and the last 13 Falcons primetimes literally hit the over by halftime. Literally hit the over by halftime. I was like, that ain't good. Hopefully nobody listened to that. The over had also hit in 12 of the last 16 Falcons bus games. Here's the way I'm going to go as far as my NFL lot. How about the Miami versus New England under 36.5?
I looked at this and I was scared away from it.
Golly, both of those offenses are bad. I know 36.5 is a low number, and it seems like a trap in a number of ways. You just know that Mike McDaniel is going to have somewhat of a better game plan this week. And I know that New England's got a scrappy defense, though. I'm going to say the under of the Miami-New England game, 36.5 this weekend.
I think you're so good on that. I looked at it, and I scared myself because I told you I'm very – I know everything about what – I feel like I know everything. I say I feel like I know everything about what happened last night. I am so lost on everything else. And in this game, I looked at me, and I said, don't do it. It's a trap.
Yeah.
So I didn't go. That's a good call. I think you have money there.
All right, let's pivot to our college picks. I'll make you go first on this one so you don't steal my pick again. How about this one? Number 9, Missouri, heading down to College Station. Number 25, Texas A&M. That line, Texas A&M, favored at home by 2.5 points. It sounds like Vegas thinks that home crowd is going to have something to do with it. Also, the over-under at 48.5. Bo, you'll go first on this one.
I think Vegas is on to something. The first game of the year, Notre Dame kind of pushed around. I felt Texas A&M in the trenches,
yeah.
And they did not do that the last few games I've seen for A&M. Mike Elko, I think is a very good coach. Their quarterback situation is weird because the redshirt freshman played his butt off against Florida. When I saw that game, of course, anybody can score on Florida. That's why UCF's a favorite right now against them and Gainesville. Missouri has not passed the eye test for me yet, and I've put money on them before this year. I'm not this week. Give me A&M and covering the 2.5.
Yeah, I'm going to ride along with you. I think this is a prove-it game for Mike Elko. When you look at the 2.5 points, and to me, just say the rankings first when you say the line. Number 9, Missouri, is an underdog to number 25, Texas A&M. There's a reason that Vegas makes it look that way. Texas A&M, minus the 2.5, they get it done this weekend. All right, real quick, let's go to our college locks of the week. I can go first right here, Bo. Looking at the over of Ole Miss versus South Carolina. I actually think that's a sneaky good game.
I almost took South Carolina because they're 9-point underdogs at home where they play their butts off under Beamer, Shane.
They'll be 8-point underdogs or 9-point whatever line you have it at home, which I think is really interesting to look at considering what happened to Ole Miss a week ago against Kentucky. But I think both these offenses will have a lot of success this weekend. 53.5 to me, while it looks a little bit large, 31-28 gets you home by plenty. All right, and I'm looking at a score like that as far as this game goes. I'll take the Ole Miss South Carolina over for my college lock of the week.
You want me to do it? What's you want me to take the bait?
Are you going
to
fall another trap, dude?
I'm taking
just
the bait.
Just because Oklahoma saved you last week with the pick six with 4 minutes left in the game doesn't mean you can continue to fall into traps.
I'm taking the bait.
No!
Tennessee's going on the road.
Ah!
At Arkansas.
No!
My buddy Phil, if he's listening, that's his place. I think he's in the dentist chair right now. He told me he was listening earlier. He's an Arkansas grad. I'm taking Tennessee to cover the 13.5. I'm telling you, their defense is better than I thought. Their offense is phenomenal. Nico
Iamaliava.
He's so good. I don't have to say his last name. You know who I'm talking about? Is going to go in there and roll.
Yeah.
They get it done.
Yes.
They get it to bait.
Yeah.
Making you money.
I don't think it's a trap, man. I don't think it's a bad pick. I think Tennessee is, they have their issues, they have their ups and downs, but Arkansas is a flawed football team as well. I think Tennessee is probably the hardest game left, I know, on Alabama's schedule and possibly even on Georgia's schedule. And I say that knowing that Texas is coming up as well.
Boy, so. Kyle Pitts played good last night. I'm sorry. I got the game playing around. I'm so proud of that guy.
Me too, baby. The Falcons talk will continue on the other side of the break. That is when we will welcome in Dave Archer,
the quarterback,
the radio analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. It's a Victory Friday, a Falcons Friday here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, home of the Atlanta Falcons and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the home of your first place. Let me say that again, the home of your first place. Atlanta Falcons, after the massive W last night that they were able to pull off. Kirk Cousins going for 509 through the air last night, a franchise record, beating one Matt Ryan on the night that Matt Ryan was put into the Ring of Honor. And now we will welcome in former Falcon quarterback and analyst for the Falcons Radio Network, Dave Archer. Dave, let's start with that. I don't know if you saw anything coverage-wise or anything that defense was doing differently, but I'll say this. Kirk Cousins said it to you in his post-game interview. He used the word anticipation. I think that was one of the biggest things that stood out to me last night about that passing game.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Mike. His trust in guys, I think that you and I have discussed this a great deal. It's a kind of an elusive target, if you will, no pun intended, for quarterbacks as you begin to try to anticipate throws, trust that guys are going to be in the position they're going to be in. For them to be to declare what they're doing, it's clear that you can see what they're doing, those kind of things, that's all something that you have to grow. It's organically growing on this football team, and it sprouted last night, no question about it. And Kirk was brilliant last night. He was seeing things. In all honesty, I thought Baker Mayfield was really good. He just didn't get to touch the football, and we knew a little bit of how that felt the first four games of the year. We only run 50, 51 plays. Atlanta runs 81 plays last night. We talked about it in the pregame, didn't we? One of the things you and I were talking about was you got to run plays. You know, you got to have some experience. You got to be out there long enough to make some of these things happen. And they did all of that, ran 81 plays last night. It's the first time they've had two receivers go for over 100 yards since September 13, 2020. Got to go all the way back to the Seattle game. They opened the year and lost to Seattle, and Russell Wilson, Ryan threw for 420, you had receivers Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, and Russell Gage all went for over 100 yards in that game. So it's been a long time since they've had that kind of production.
Yeah, Arch, I think you're not getting credit for you're the real hero in last night's game. If you guys don't know, Arch was made to stand during offensive possessions, and it worked out pretty well for us.
Did you have your lucky jock strap on too, Arch? I mean, sheesh.
Arch, the defense, I mean, I just had to check the final stat line where I thought Baker Mayfield, the way it felt to me, he threw for like 300 yards and four touchdowns. He only threw for 180, which is in line with this defense. But let's go to the sequence, which is not getting a lot of talk because of how great the offense played and the way they win the game. But they get the turnover. Jesse Bates creates it as Tampa is trying to ice the game and he maybe kick a field goal, and they do nothing. In fact, it's four and out. Oof. With an interception. And then talk about how this defense bowed up and they force a three and out where they send Tampa backwards and out of field goal range.
Yeah, I thought there were a couple of really good late game third down, defensive performances. I thought when they got deep in Atlanta territory earlier on and Grady Jarrett made a tackle for a loss at about the 10 or 11 yard line and got him behind the chains, They subsequently picked up a 5 or 6 yard gain to get themselves inside the 10. And the David Onyemata came up with a sack deep in the red zone and forced a field goal. That was a sequence that happened in that second half as well that I thought was part of what you're talking about. The defense, when you give up, 30 points in a game and they run for 160 yards, you start kind of having a bad taste in your mouth. But Bates makes the play to get the ball out, and then you get that defensive stand there where it looks like, you have to go for it. It's 4th and 15. Kirk tries to force the football up the field to Mooney. It's intercepted. Levante David, and I think there were probably some people that were headed for the aisles at that point, turnstiles. But they did a really good job of shoving them back. They were fortunate. They got a penalty in there as well, but they shoved them out of field goal range. So there's no question that the defense deserves credit. And it seems weird on a night when you win 36-30 in overtime that you'd credit the defense. But they made moments. There were moments in the game where they certainly provided an opportunity for this offense to get rolling.
Arch, I want to pivot a little bit. I want to talk about a guy that we've been pretty hard on because it just seemed like at times he was kind of checked out and just not able to get separation, and that's Kyle Pitts. Obviously, he comes alive, and I kind of mentioned this in postgame. I think this game was important in more ways than one. Not only do you get him some stats, but I think that you run the risk if you don't start getting him targets and catches that he just altogether checks out, right, as you move forward. Instead, last night, complete pivot, a 180. They get him involved. He has almost 100 yards receiving like you talked about. What did you see that was different for Kyle Pitts last night in this game plan for the Atlanta Falcons that allowed him to get those touches?
Mike, they got him the ball early. I don't know that there was anything necessarily different that they did. And, you know, obviously he gets that stunning kind of punch to the gut for the Tampa Bay Bucks where they try to come with zone pressure. And it's something they've done all year long. Todd Bowles is noted for coming for it with extra guys at your quarterback, 5-6 guys. He'll rush four, and they won't be conventional guys. There'll be two guys off one side and two DBs coming off that side as well. So he really mixes up the rush, but they give zones away. They play a lot of zone blitz. They'll come with 5 or 6 players, and they'll give up areas. And they're thinking, okay, we're going to get home before you can get the ball out. And Kirk was so dialed in, he finds Kyle on that seam route early on, and that just seemed to shoot adrenaline into his system. And you hate to have it that way, that you need to get the player the ball early in the game. But Kyle just might be one of those guys you got to get going early. If you can get him the ball a couple times early in the game, because he was running with the football with some ferocity. That was some of the things. You remember, you and I stood there and watched him in training camp. You and I and Bo watched him in training camp, and he was so aggressive in catching the ball. And Kirk was challenging him. Is that the best you can do? Is that the best route you can run? I thought they got back to some of that. And maybe Kyle heard some of the outside noise that he wasn't a very good player and that maybe he was just an average player. He was everything you wanted last night from him. He was running aggressively, catching the football. I thought that he was very – very demonstrative. That's the word that comes to mind for me. It very, very distinctive as to what he was going to do. And I thought it was because he got the ball early on. Now, hopefully that's not the starter that he needs to get him going every week, but it certainly was last night.
Either that or you read my Twitter account. Arch.
Nobody reads your Twitter account.
Well, that's good. Let me tell you something. Last night, we've been talking about who's Cousins' go-to guy. And it looks like there's two of them. He was 21-29 last night for 259 yards and 3 touchdowns when targeting Mooney and London. But take me into that last drive. Was there something that he saw where it was a matchup thing? Because they run the ball to Algier on the final drive. They get a yard. And then it's London, London. And then Hodge comes in for London. And he goes right back to the same spot in the field. Maybe it was the same route. You tell me they're different. You see that part more than I do the way we both watch the games differently due to our job. Was that a matchup thing that he saw with a certain player, then he just wanted to expose it? Or what was going on with that? Because that was London's ball that Hodge caught.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, the first one obviously is a little bit different route. It's more of an in or a dig route. He's running, he gets up the field about 12 yards and breaks to the inside and makes the catch. The second one that he catches is a play where it's exactly the same play that Hodge catches, just a stick route or a hitch route in the slot. He runs up at about 7 or 8 yards and hooks up in the zone. They're playing zone. They're trying to keep the ball in front of them at that point. You know, they realize that if they give up a field goal, they're going to get the ball back. They just don't want to give up a touchdown. And at that point, that was one of those deals where the offense was really humming, and they're just trying to hold onto the rope and get off the field. So they're willing to give up a 5 or 6 yard stick route and force you to third round and see if they can get off the field. But when London catches his second of those passes and the first of the kind of those little stick routes I'm talking about, he breaks a tackle and gets up the field. That's when he takes the shot to the ribs that knocks him out of the game, knocks the air out of him. And so Kadarius comes in. Cordero runs the same route. And again, all Kirk is doing is, I got to get the ball out. You know, I get the ball out, let me keep us in manageable third down situations. Let me continue to eat up yards, keep us in situations where we convert and stay on the field. And Kordero just makes a play. And Zion McCollum tries to strip the throw and tackle at the same time. He slips over the top. And Kordero just turns and there's nobody there. If you go back and you look at the play, Ray McCloud gets a block for him that really kind of frees him completely. It's just hustle, guys staying in the play. But go back and look at the play. Ray McCloud comes in from the other side of the field and gets just a piece of the safety, which provides that crease for Hodge to turn on the Jets and go win it.
Yeah, it's such a great call. Just enough to kind of reroute the safety coming from the other side of the field. Finishing up here with Dave Archer here on the morning shift. Arch, we're kind of up against it, but I want to keep the main thing, obviously talk about the big Falcons win, but I got to give you the floor a little bit to talk about what happened at halftime. That's Matt Ryan going into the Ring of Honor. You obviously covered him for his entire career. You got a chance to visit with him last night. Just a special night for him and his family.
He's one of the all-time greats, and I hope that people realize, I appreciate it, Mike. Real quickly, I mean, you guys can go over the numbers, but 10th all-time in wins, 7th all-time in yards passing, 9th all-time in touchdown passes, and 6th all-time in game-winning drives. And well, how fitting was that for him to be in the building for a game-winning drive by Kirk Cousins? But everybody asked me, what was the biggest attribute, or the main attribute that Matt Ryan brought to the table that you admire? Is his ability to lead, his ability to throw it in pressure. I said, just the guy that he was. He was an unbelievable teammate. And you know that, Mike. He was an unbelievable teammate, just a phenomenal guy to be around. And he was not going to be outworked. And he wasn't outworked. In fact, there weren't very many people that did as much as he could do.
Yeah, I love it. I told the story last night, Arch. I said I had a few times that I got a chance to get beers with Matt. Never a time went by that he didn't offer to pay the tab. And I think that says a lot about what his character was.
There you go.
Was,
you love that guy picks up the tab. Bo, listen, pick up a tab from time to time.
I don't hear you. I think your phone's going out, Arch.
Bo's going to Irish that? Goodbye and dine and dash on me, man. So appreciate you. Hey, Arch.
At this break, I want you to go read your Twitter account. Think about picking up a tab, okay?
Arch, man, enjoy the mini bye. Hopefully you get a chance to sit on the couch, drink a beer this weekend, and watch a little NFL football on Sunday, man. Thanks
you
for hanging
too,
out with
brother.
Us.
You too, brother. Enjoyed sharing the airways with you last night.
Man.
Good job.
That's Dave Archer, Falcons radio analyst. Good stuff, man. We're still riding the wave. That is the Falcons' primetime victory last night on Thursday Night Football, man. So I could rehash that game with Arch 10 times over. I know we got to get to break. We'll get to a life of Squid on the other side, though. What do you got coming up, man?
Well, you know what's going to happen at some point this weekend. Him and I are going to have, like, I'm going to call him, hey, what'd you think about this? What'd you see there? What'd you 100%. See this? That's just how it always goes. We talked about Matt Ryan. He sat down with my guys, Wes and Arch, before the game, and you know what? I wanted to let you hear a little bit of that because I think we went through some really good memories. I still think Kirk Cousins was very rude last night, though, breaking his record.
It's a Falcons Victory Friday, man. We're still riding the wave. Me and Bo going on about 2 hours of sleep on the air mattress here in the studio. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll be right back here on Sports Radio 92.9 A Game and
the Odyssey app.
Woo! Cousins to the line quickly. No change in personnel. Snap to him. Kirk looks. Throws to the left side. Mooney the catch. Darnell at the five. And Darnell a touchdown for the Falcons.
Thank God it's Friday.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Your home of your first place. Atlanta Falcons. Man, it feels good to say. It's a Falcons Victory Friday here. On the morning shift, Mike and Bo hanging out with you all morning. Somehow, after working all night last night and jumping on at 6 a.m., somehow we have reached our last segment. This show has flown by, and that's what happens when you're having fun, my man. Hopefully everybody out there in Atlanta feels the same way.
Yeah, I think they do. I've seen it just feels like we're all happy and we're enjoying this. Look, you only get 17 games a year that matter. You're only guaranteed 17 games a year. And we have not won. We've won 21 out of the last 60 games.
Yeah.
21 and 30. Or that's six. That's 51, right? I don't know. Math's hard. Yeah, I don't know. But anyways, celebrate it. Enjoy it. That's what it's about, man. I mean, we've had two amazing wins at home against division rivals. You're the only undefeated team in the division.
Mm.
You're leading the division, and you go on the road next week at four. I think it's a 4:25 kick in Charlotte, and you play a team that's much improved. You get some much needed time off. Enjoy it. Feel good about yourself, but know that there's more challenges. You are 3-2, Mike, against teams that are a combined 14-7 in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure all of which have been predicted to go to the playoffs by multiple people, including the Super Bowl champion who you did lose to, but still.
Yeah, two things quickly. First of all, I just love how this team continues to evolve, especially on offense. They continue to do things differently. You've seen little strides here and there. And the second thing, my final takeaway, mentally, being able to unplug on a mini bye week. If you lose the game, you're going to go back, immediately start second-guessing, watching film. What could I have done? Darnell Mooney's in the dumps, about to drop, and everything else. Instead, you win. You can unplug a little bit. You're five games in. You're in first place, and you can hit the ground running in your preparation for Carolina next week, man.
Yeah, it's you know, kind of say something that I've noticed in being on the road with the team, being in the locker room after losses and wins, and this team, I'm not going to sit here and go on some diatribe before we get Life is Good that this team is special and blah, 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 blah. But there is some camaraderie. Like, this team feels together as much as I've felt a team in a while. There's a real love for each other and a real
I agree.
A pick-me-up kind of attitude. Like, the everybody wants to have a moment, right? And Darnell Mooney and Drake London were the dudes last night offensively for this team, both over 100 yards receiving with touchdowns. Drake is literally, that's his moment. And because he took a shot, looked like to the ribs, he came out and Kadarrell took his, that was his route, and kind of took his moment, but he didn't. Drake don't care none of that. He cares about winning, and hey, you know, I'm glad you had your moment. And yeah. Kadarrell needed that too. Like, it's just like,
you could see
how
that in the locker room afterwards, man. You could see in the locker room when Kadarrell comes in the locker room, you could see how happy they were. And to me, that tells you everything you need to know about Kadarrell Hodge.
It's really good to see.
Falcons rise up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Falcons rise up.
Yeah. I'm about to go get me one of those cold beers this afternoon. I'm like, I'm trying to hit the gym real quick. I got all adrenaline. I'm going to go do some arms, man, make myself feel better about myself.
Well, listen, I'm going to have a few cold units this weekend because, obviously, we don't have to work on Sunday, and watching the NFL and college football and all the above, man, it's going to be a good one. Hopefully those Falcons players are doing the same thing.
Yeah, totally agree. And look, I tweeted out a picture last night. If you haven't seen, you go to @squibbly929. I said, hey, nothing to see here, just three legends talking some ball. And I have my guys, Wes Durham, the best play-by-play guy in the business, Dave Archer, best color analyst in the business, and Matt Ryan, the best to ever to line up and play the quarterback position and best Atlanta Falcon of all time, and newly inducted in the Ring of Honor. And it was cool to have him on pregame. I haven't seen Ryan since I haven't got to talk to him since he left here, so I got a little moment with him. But, a lot of memories were created last night for some fans and some new Falcons, including Kirk Cousins, who's now playing the quarterback. But here was Matt with the guys talking about his best memory wearing the black and red.
I mean, it's so hard, because there were so many different teammates, so many different players, so many different coaches, right? It's for me, it's always hard to just pick one of
them.
But if I had to, it's that NFC Championship game to close out the old Georgia Dome.
Yeah.
And to me, it was the craziest crowd I've ever played in front of, home, away, doesn't make a difference. That environment was second to none. The way we performed going against the Packers, who we had played against a ton against in meaningful games, in the playoffs, all those kind of things. That game was incredibly special. And
love to hear that from him, man. And obviously anybody who was in attendance that day continues to say the same things about that particular game, but he mentioned it. So many teammates, so many memories, so many moments, and I can't imagine trying to pick one out if I were him, but that's a pretty good one.
Yeah, that was a great crowd. That was one of my favorite quarterback scrambles of all time that he makes in that game, just because you could tell how bad he wanted it. And look, Michael Vick's scrambles are always going to be at the top, but that one, just because of how bad he wanted it, and it wasn't his thing.
Yeah.
He talked about the honor it is to go into the Ring of
Honor.
it's going to happen tonight, and I'm going to wake up tomorrow and still not think it's real. It's just I don't know how to describe it. It's just my whole life has felt like that, like a bit of a fairy tale. You know, I always wanted it. I dreamed about it. I worked extremely hard for it. But I also never took it for granted while I was going through it. I knew how special it was and how much I loved what I was doing. And so a night like tonight, you know, it still doesn't feel real.
I can't even imagine, especially seeing a bunch of my old teammates on the stage with him. So cool, man. So cool. Such a cool moment.
At one point, he mentioned his dad and what his parents meant to him. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people that don't act like they're grateful for where they're at, and they complain. And you don't think that they're the opportunity that they've been given in life with – Matt's not one of those guys.
No.
He is completely grateful of all of it. And it was an honor to cover him and travel and be a part of all of this. And I got to experience it. I know you played with him as well. Real quick, Mike, I want to tell you, don't forget November 25th, Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic, for Pets for Vets, second annual. Go to 929 The Game website, go to the event page, click on that tab, and you will see all the information to sign up. Sign up today is for a great cause, Pets for Vets.
There you have it, man. Love to hear it. We're still riding the wave here at 92.9 The Game. That's going to do it for us here on the morning shift. Coming up on the other side, we'll find out what Sandy and Steak have in store. It's a Falcons Friday here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons,
Falcons rise up.